Jesus lay.
I'd like to invite you this morning over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 5. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 5. Luke, chapter 1, verse 5 reads this way. It says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your willingness, Lord, to honor and glorify yourself through our lives, through the redeemed, Lord. And we thank you for this time and this time of the year that we celebrate the birth of you sending your son to come into the world to pay and to purchase our eternal life, Lord. And we ask that you bless your word, bless your people. And Lord, may we be the witness and testimony of your great grace, especially through this time of the year, that we might encourage others to see the importance of knowing you as well as their personal Savior. May you be honored and glorified. May you build your people. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, this morning, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "Only God." Only God. Only God can do the impossible. We have this situation in this case of Elizabeth and her husband Zacharias. The Bible tells us that they didn't have any children, because Elizabeth, first of all, was barren, so she was not able to have children. Now they're both well stricken in age, and they're not able to have children, but God is not finished. Amen? Aren't you glad? Listen, we can look to ourselves and we can see our inabilities, our ability not to be able to do the things that God has called us to do. And aren't you glad that God can take an imperfect individual, redeem them, give them eternal life? That's us, if you're redeemed, if you're saved, and then use us for his honor and glory. Lord, who am I, as King David said, that you would grant me eternal life and then desire to use me and to bless my life and to bless my family to experience you and your great grace? I am not worthy. I am not worthy of God's eternal life. I am not worthy of God. His thoughts towards me, the Bible says, are innumerable because of what he thinks about you and I. And that's how God feels and is towards all of his children. Isn't that amazing? And so when you think that, well, there's not much for the Lord to think about me or to love in me, and yet he does and wants to do great and mighty things. In fact, God is glorified when he alone works the impossible in our lives. He's going to show us that here, that case in point in our history here this morning as we consider this time before the Lord coming onto the scene. This is all part of the Christmas story. This is all the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ to all humanity. All mankind can be redeemed because God has already paid the
price. Now, one of the things that we need to do is we need to get outside of our thinking to hear the way that God thinks. We have to get outside of what society is saying, or you will certainly miss what God has to say, because God's thoughts are not the world's thoughts at for sure, but then God's thoughts are also not our thoughts, and we can also hinder the Lord's will to work in our lives. So consider a couple of things as we look to our text this morning, and that is God's faithful servants. Secondly, God's faithfulness to his servants, and then God's faithfulness to remove our reproach. And so as we consider this, let's go back to verse 5, and we find here a good testimony. Look at verse 5. It says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." So here we have, they're of a good stock. They're of a good pedigree. In other words, what I mean by that is they had parents that knew the Lord. Amen. They had a lineage that knew the Lord. And then verse 6 says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Isn't that a good testimony when we consider what they were doing for the Lord? And then God tells us something here, and there's an unknown purpose here. A lot of times we forget that God has a will for your life and mine that are unknown to us at the moment. We don't know what God's going to do today, do we? But yet he has a purpose and a will for your life and mine. We don't know what God's going to do next week. And let me ask you this question. Does God have a purpose for your life and mine next week? Does he have a plan for your life and mine? In fact, is there one day, may I even say one second, that God hasn't thought about concerning your life and mine? So God thinks about us all the time, does he not? He has a plan and a will for all of us all the time, if we'll keep that in our hearts and minds. And he is pleased to use you and I as imperfect individuals for his honor and glory. But the only problem, the only thing that will hinder God's work is if we lean to our own understanding. That'll get us in trouble all the time. And what do I mean by that? Well, we look to what we think we can do for God, and we look to what we think we can't do for God. That will spoil all of the purpose and plan of God in our lives, because if we're looking to what we can do and what we can't do, are we looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Are we looking to God if we're looking to ourselves? How many of you learned this? When you drive a car, it's a good thing that you look where you're going. In other words, if you're going backward, please don't be looking forward. Amen? Make sure that you're looking where you're going. In fact, today you find a lot of people. Listen, can you not tell who's on their phones on the road? You see them doing all kinds of crazy stuff. They are not looking at the road, all right? At 70 miles an hour plus, they are not looking. And sure enough, then they start slowing down because they're really wrapped up in what they're doing. And you pass by them, and sure enough, they're driving like this. And I'm like, you are dangerous. You are dangerous, and you will find yourself before too long, because of the law, the law of averages, eventually you're going to get in a wreck. Eventually, you stand a pretty good chance of wrecking and maybe even hurting somebody else. So it's a dangerous thing to not look where you're wanting to go. So if you want, and if I want the will of God in my life, should I look to myself? That's a dangerous place if we want to follow the Lord. And so here we have this situation where they have an unknown purpose. Verse 7 says, "And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren." That's her first problem. "And they both were now at this point of the story in their life, were well stricken." Not just a little bit. They were well stricken in age. They didn't have a chance now because of their years now. So now they've got this problem. But where should they be looking? Should they be looking to Elizabeth's inability? Should they be looking now to both of their years? Or should they be looking to the Lord? Listen, how about in your life and mine? Where should we be looking to? the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, listen, keep your eyes fixed on the author and finisher of our faith. Some people aren't looking to the Lord, and they somehow interpret that the wrath of God is going to abide on his children. You'll never find that. You and I, as a child of God, are not appointed unto wrath, and so therefore some people get confused and think that the rapture of the church is going to take place in the middle or at the end of the tribulation, and the only thing that's wrong with that is that they're looking for the Antichrist and they're not looking for Jesus. And Paul told the Thessalonians to be looking for the Lord, and that day hasn't come upon you because God has not appointed you and I to the wrath that God is going to pour out amongst the unbelievers. And so we thank the Lord for that, but every time we look to ourselves, we will come up on the short end of the stick or making big mistakes concerning what the Lord wants to do in our lives, because God does not, how many of you figured this out already, if you've been saved for any length of time, God does not reveal all of his purposes to you at the beginning of our salvation. He leads us along. That's why we follow him, because we don't know the way. And once we realize we don't know the way, we will be a little bit more pleased to follow the Lord because he knows the way. Amen? And he wants to guide us in his way and not we ourselves. And so here we find this unknown purpose. And then notice I want you to see this faithful servant here in verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, so he's doing all the right things, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So this is good. Here we have Zacharias, and he's doing the right thing, and here we have the people of God, and they're doing the right thing as well. And so everybody's gathered together doing the right thing, kind of like what's taking place today. Kind of like what's taking place right now. You and I are assembled together in the place that God has called us to, and that's his local New Testament church, to worship and bring praise. And the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 21, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to receive honor and glory world without end in his local New Testament church. And so we thank the Lord for that. So let me ask you this question this morning. Is God in our midst? Isn't that good? And listen, does it matter if you feel that way or not? Is God not still in our midst? Because he is faithful even if we don't see it. He is faithful even if we don't feel it. He is faithful and we can count on what he has said and what he has promised to do it. And so we need to walk in that confidence because that might keep us, in fact, it will keep us from experiencing and understanding everything that he wants to do in our lives. So he's a faithful servant. The whole multitude is there and they're all gathering together. And so we find God's faithful servants, both of them, Zacharias and Elizabeth. And then we see God's faithfulness to his servants. Listen, God is faithful to his servants. He is faithful to you and I, not only as his servants, but as his children and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has an interest and a love for you and I think at many times that we can't even fathom. And so look at verse 11, he's not left them alone. And notice what happens, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. Would you dare say that's a revelation? Would you dare say he wasn't expecting that day? Would you dare say that the congregation outside didn't know what was going on? Listen, God wants to do a work in our hearts and our minds that many times goes unseen by the world. But he still wants to do that work in our lives to build our faith, to be that witness and that testimony, because we have received something from the Lord to share with the lost world. God is not wanting us just to repeat history. He's wanting us to reveal what God is doing personally in your life and mine. Listen, what God does personally in our lives gives us something to praise him for and to tell the world of what he's doing in our lives. And so it says, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. That was, to say the least, a surprise, an unexpected event that occurred in his life that had never happened before. That's because he's a teenager and he sees things, right? That's because he's got a vivid imagination. young teenager. No, he's well stricken in years. And God says, I'm not done with you yet. I'm going to use you for my honor and glory. Possibly, could God bring something into your life that you don't know about that will honor and glorify him and bring praise and joy into your life? Even today? Many times people say, oh, well, you don't understand. I'm old and washed up and done with. Oh, listen, that's not the heart and mind of God. That's once again, looking to ourselves and forgetting that God is not finished with us yet. If he was done with us, we'd be home with him, wouldn't we? All right. Verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing by on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, see, he may have been there for a little while, but God's trying to get our attention. When he saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Listen, that's the presence of God. And we don't always understand it. And so he has fear. Does that remind you of something else when the Lord was walking on the water? And all of a sudden the disciples saw him walking on the water and they were troubled, weren't they? And the Lord told him, don't fear, it's me. And then Peter jumped on board and said, hey, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come. And he did. He did. None of the disciples were planning for that night. And God has things for you and I that we're not planning. And so this is the same situation. Fear falls upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. That's a good thing. He called him by name. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Wow, that's something that Zacharias knew that maybe nobody else knew, that he was praying unto the Lord. He was burning incense. And by the way, I'm sure that this prayer, listen, this prayer may have not been mentioned for quite some time. If he's looking to himself, I mean, listen, he prayed about this probably not recently. And maybe at this point he's prayed for something else and he's saying, I wonder, I'm glad he heard my prayer. But listen, remember, Elizabeth, how long are you going to pray for Elizabeth when she can't have children? And how long are you going to pray when you're well stricken in years and so is your wife? And now it appears that it's an impossibility. So this is news to Zacharias. Listen, there were hopes and dreams that they had previously in life that now probably they thought will never take place. And so he says, I want you to know, Zacharias, your prayer is heard. Verse 13. And listen to this, he's specific. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now I'm going to tell you, this is conjecture on my part, but you're going to see it here. I don't think he was thinking about this prayer. He wasn't thinking about this prayer. In fact, I think he'd filed that prayer away, thinking that will just never come to be. But God has a plan that goes beyond our scope of thinking if we'll just trust him and seek him. And Zacharias was in the right place, just as you and I are in the right place this morning. And God is saying, I'm wanting to do something in your life that you can't do for yourself. Are you able to receive it? Or will you realize that naturally speaking, we have a tendency to say, well, God, I appreciate the thought. I appreciate the consideration, but I think you've maybe meant that for somebody else. After all, have you seen my condition? Lord, after all, have you seen my situation? Lord, I think you've overlooked something. Lord, I don't think you really know who you... I think you mean this for somebody else. See, I think I'm a little far gone to receive what you think you have for me. Isn't that something, how we come to the Lord with our own understanding? When he commands and directs us not to lean to it. Because every time we lean to it, we walk in unbelief. But that's all right. And why is that? Because did God know that Zacharias was going to have a hard time with this revelation? And he knows you and I will have a hard time with this revelation. But God wants us, and he will remind us this morning, please, 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 in order for me to do my work, you can't look to yourself. You have to put your trust, you have to put your faith in what I have promised to do for you. You cannot put your trust, you cannot put your faith in what you think you should do for me. It's something God wants to do for us. Could Elizabeth and Zacharias perform this miracle for themselves? No. And likewise, you and I cannot perform anything for the Lord the way he wants it done unless he moves into our lives. Okay, so as we consider this, he says, you're going to have a son. I want you to know your prayer is heard. And he's probably thinking, he may have thought this, what prayer? He may have thought, what prayer? Well, the Lord reminds him through this angel what that prayer was. And he's probably scratching his head and says, man, I think he's a few years short. I think he's kind of over. He could have come a few years earlier. Aren't you glad that whenever God comes, it's the right time? Listen, today God is wanting to enter into your life and mine. It is the right time if we'll look to him and not ourselves. And so, again, he says, verse 14, he says, you're going to have a son. In verse 13, you're going to name him John. And listen to this, he's not done yet. In verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness. Listen, is God the author of joy and gladness? When God says, I want to bring joy and gladness into your life, do you think he's trustworthy? You will never find it in yourself. We will never find it in ourselves. We can never be the recipients of God's great joy and great gladness if we look to ourselves. Could you have gotten saved by looking just to yourself? You never would have made it. What did you do? You had to surrender it. How much of it? Oh, not 50%? Not 99.999%? Wouldn't God save you if you just had to trust yourself just a little bit? No, God said it's 100% or it's no deal. Same way. God's not changed. He's still the same. And so, thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. God says, I'm going to do a work for you and your wife, and it's going to bring joy and gladness into your life, but not only that, it's going to bring joy and gladness into the lives of other people. Do you know that's God's plan to work in our lives so that we might have joy unspeakable and full of glory that will be contagious and the world will catch on? Listen, that's God's plan since the beginning of his church. That was his plan for the apostles. That was his plan for the first century Christians. And that's also his plan for you and I today in this century. And if we'll have it, listen, truly the world can be turned upside down for the honor and glory of the Lord. But here's what we do right away. Oh, listen. Have you seen the news? Who are you looking to? Not Jesus. Oh, have you looked at me? Oh, have you looked at government? That's everybody. If we're looking to government, are we looking to the Lord? Oh, have you looked at our society? Have you looked at everything there is to see? Our eyes are still not on the right place. And so God doesn't want us to look to those things, but he wants us to look to himself. All right. So verse 15 here, as we consider God's faithfulness to his servants, he says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Is this Zacharias and Elizabeth's work, or is this the Lord's work? It's God's work. Listen, God can do everything from the get-go, from the very beginning in our lives. And so this was his plan. This was his revelation to him. And notice what he says was going to be the result of his faithfulness to his servants here. Verse 17, in fact, verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. Through this blessing, many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. Let me ask you a question today. Wouldn't it be a good thing for many of the children of God to turn back to God? Wouldn't it be a good thing? See, listen, we're not all right. We're not all right. If we are all right, then let's just go home. We don't need to do anything. But oh, listen, we are naked, we are poor, we are wretched, and we are destitute as a society and becoming more and more decrepit. And God has not called the world to be the light. He's called his people to be the light. Oh, God, how we need you today. Oh, God, more than ever, please do your work in my life that there might be a light that can't be hidden. But if we're so preoccupied in looking to ourselves, we will never seek out God's purpose that he wants to fulfill. Is our God the same yesterday? Amen? And today? And forever? So if he hasn't changed, who has? His people. His people, because he still wants to do the same thing. All right. So he says, I'm going to turn many. And verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. This is scripture fulfilled. Remember? Remember the disciples after the Mount of Transfiguration, they said to the Lord, but wait a minute, Lord, the Bible tells us that Elijah was going to come. And the Lord said it was John the Baptist. He came in the spirit. But notice he's telling them here. And by the way, before he was born, Zacharias and Elizabeth knew this revelation. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers, by the way, which is written for us in the book of Isaiah, to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Did you hear that? Listen, in the middle of that verse. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Oh my goodness, do we need that today? And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Be careful. Listen, be careful that you don't look to the world for your philosophy, for your wisdom. Do you know God created mankind? Mankind! Does that mean that God thinks little of womankind? No. But listen, you're going to offend some people, Brother George. I don't want to offend my Savior. My God is more important than people who have turned their backs and don't have a chance unless God's people seek him early. If we really care about those who are blinded and deceived, then we'll stand for the truth of the Word of God. And we'll say, this is what God says. It's the only way they're going to know. God does not, listen, be careful about this. A lot of this going on today. God will save us, but he won't leave us just the way that we are. God does have, in other words, unearned love. But that's only if we acknowledge what we're doing is wrong and repent of it. God does not save us just the way that we are and loves us just the way that we are. God saved me from my sin. To what? To live in his light. Not to go my way, but to go his way. And people might say, listen, I'm going to stand before God Almighty. There is not one person who's deceived or caught up in something that is destroying their lives and some kind of a deception, because from the very beginning, the devil's plan was to destroy our lives because we're made in the image of God. And his whole purpose was to pervert mankind who's made in the image of God. Listen, God made them both male and female. That's not my word. Can I stand on that? I can't stand with people that don't even know what's coming day to day. My God never changes. Why is that? Because the truth doesn't change. The truth. There's only one. There's only one. There's not your truth. There's not my truth. There's not their, they, and them truth. There's God's truth, and everything else is a lie. Everything else is a lie. I don't care if I'm on the wrong side of humanity. I want to be on the right side of the Lord. Amen. And that's going to last forever. And it's a high time for God's people to not just overlook the things and to kindly, in the Spirit of God, say, listen, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And it's not our way. Because every man, God's people can do that which is right in their own eyes. Not wrong. This is right in my eyes. Does it line up with the Word of God? That's all that matters. Does it line up with the Word of God? Listen, God is not pleased with sin because it destroys lives. And you're finding out now that people are, that are caught up in this crazy ideology of it doesn't really matter, and there's people of all different kinds of genders and this, that, and the other. Are you watching them come out now saying, I've destroyed my life because my parents and society has allowed me as a 10-year-old, 12-year-old teenager to take drugs that destroyed my life? That's what we do when we're left to ourselves. There's no hope of eternal life. There's no hope of God's peace and God's joy until we say, we are wrong, and I repent, and I'm sorry, and I want the truth. Not this idea that it doesn't, I can't say what. I can't say what's right and what's wrong. God can. God's pretty clear on it. Who will you and I stand before? Oh, I might stand one day before a crowd of people, and they may not like what I have to say, and I think it's becoming more and more prevalent. But may God give me boldness to stand for the truth in spite of what the world might do to me. Because I promise you, we are in the days where they're calling good evil, and they're calling evil good if we've ever been in it before. They are calling people who stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ as haters. You tell me about the love of God that came to seek out his enemies to save them. You think any of these people that are caught up with this movement have love for those that they disagree with? Jesus does. Jesus died for them. They would as soon have us executed and be pleased to perform the execution. A lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them would. A lot of them would have no problem with saying, all these people ought to be exterminated that don't agree with us. Do you think that's true today? But that's not God's will. Listen, God's not willing that any should perish. And you know what? This morning, God died for everybody. Amen. And he's not willing that any should perish. But they have nothing to come to unless we're standing on the truth. Here's what we'll teach them, ready, if we're not careful. Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah, I'm saved by the grace of God. God just received me just like I am, and I can just stay like I am, and I got eternal life. Well, there's truth to that. I can do the wrong thing as a saved child of God. I'm not going to like it very long if I'm really a child of God. David did what he wanted to with Bathsheba, didn't he? Cost him a child, didn't it? Cost him a child. Cost him his joy, where he cried out in Psalm 51, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He blew it. And if we have no chastening, then we're illegitimate children. Because God didn't save us to leave us just the way we are. And if we have this, and listen, there are people that are preaching this. Listen, just God just loves you. He just loves you. He just the way you are. He just loves you. Just the way you are. Oh, okay. Well, then I don't need to change. Oh, well, then what I'm doing must be okay. Oh, well, then it's just all right for me just to go on and live just the way I'm. I could just be filled with myself, and God will just be so pleased with me when he says that we're to be filled with him. And those kind of people do not know the love of God. Did God point out the error in the religious people that were vipers and snakes? Why? Because unless they heard the truth, they would never examine their own lives. Nicodemus would have never come to the Lord by night. Neither would have Joseph of Arimathea would have changed their lives. They didn't change their lives. They would have never sought the one who did change their lives. And so the world won't seek God without God's people being a holy, peculiar people that are different than the world. That are different. That means I'm not walking the way the world is walking. I'm not going to agree with the world when they go against what the Word of God is saying. That's the truth. And so if we want the blessings of God, listen, we're going to have to stand on his side. We cannot expect to walk our own way and to be the recipients of the blessings of the Lord and to see any change take place. And I know this is not popular today, but listen, I've not coined this phrase. What's popular today is not always right. And what's right is not always popular. But more important than being popular is being right with God. So, here's a personal revelation that's given to Zacharias. And now we come to this last thought in God's faithfulness to remove our reproach, even when we don't understand. And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man." Who's he looking to? Who is Zacharias looking to? Is he looking to the Lord and his promise? He's looking to himself. Question, don't answer this out loud. Who are Christians looking to today? Who are they trying to emulate and to become like? Is it the Lord? Then they're not concerned about what the world is doing. They're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. We're not trying. Listen, it's not that we barge in like a bull in a china cabinet. We must move with the Spirit of God and His love, but we must be pretty adamant about our stand on the truth. And so, he says, "How is this going to happen, seeing I'm an old man?" Not only that, but my wife is well stricken in years. Zacharias knew this in verse 18. Look at the Lord's response here through this angel. And verse 19, "And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." That was a good thing. "And behold, Because of the persuasion of your heart, I'm going to have to do this work. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Everything has a season. The Lord spoke those words. There's a time to live, time to be born, time to die. That's not a 60s song. That's the word of God. And so here's the Lord revealing unto Zacharias, everything has a season. What's he doing? He's trying to build his faith. What's the Lord trying to do today, this morning, in your life and mine? He's trying to build our faith. But we've got to get off the fence about whose side we're on. And so did Zacharias as well. And so verse 21, he says, "And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple." That's a good thing, to be in the presence of God, isn't it? He wasn't preoccupied or concerned about the time. "And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless." Now, I'm not talking about remaining speechless, but listen, we don't have to broadcast it, but listen, the world ought to be able to say there's something different. There's something different. They're kind. They're gentle. And there's something different. I may not agree with what they believe or how they stand, but there's something different. They care. Some having compassion, making a difference. We speak these things to the people who are deceived, that they might have their eyes opened and receive the truth as we've received it, that we might have eternal life with them as well. And so we want them to know the truth of God's word. But we can't do that and walk hand in hand and in step with the world. We must be different. God will make us that way. And so they perceived he had seen a vision in verse 22 in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass, as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Listen to this, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me," listen, "to take away my reproach, to take away my reproach among men." She was reproached. That was a it was considered a curse. And she's saying now that all the people can see. Listen, could everybody see the hand of God in her life? More than ever before. Before we get to thinking we're too old, God says, I can glorify myself even probably better now in your life than ever before. Because maybe we realize our weakness to a greater degree, and that without God we can do what? But with God, isn't that amazing? Listen, only God. Only God can do that. What do you want this morning from the Lord? Only God, Lord. It's all we need. Only you, Lord. You're the one that brings joy and gladness and peace and understanding. But God has to bring you to that place. And you have to believe that you can find everything you need if you'll have it in Him. God gives us an invitation. What will you choose? Who do you need? What do you need? And the child of God ought to say, only you, Lord. Only you. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word, the reminder it brings to our hearts and minds of your great grace that you desire and your purpose that you wish to fulfill in the lives of every one of your children for your honor and glory, our blessing, and the hope of the world. That's your plan, Lord. But we must be serious and truly believe and seek you, Lord, to receive all that you have for us. Help us not to lean to our own understanding that will hinder your work, Lord, as we've seen here in the life of Zacharias. Lord, do a work that only you can that will draw us closer to you. And Lord, may you speak to our hearts that we might call upon you, that we might personally ask you to fulfill your will and your work in our lives. Bless the invitation. Speak to your people. And Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, Lord, help them to see and to understand they can trust you even today as their Savior. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.